Well, for all that are present here this morning in our Bible study class, and for those that may be listening via the internet, and I want to encourage anyone to make any question or comment that they would choose to do and try to add to the discussion this morning. I certainly am not infallible in the things that I would say as we study this, but what we are studying is infallible. I do view that, welcome any comments or questions that you may have. To kind of bring us up to speed, we need to keep in mind the overall theme of the book of Galatians, and that is this letter is written to the churches of Galatia, which are made up primarily of Gentile converts, and the problems that they are facing of these Judaizing teachers who have crept in unawares. In other words, they came in secretly that they might pervert the gospel of Christ. It's referred to as another gospel, but it is not another gospel, but it is a perversion of the gospel of Christ. And that's the way false teachers work. They come in privately, secretly, with false teachings that are not all given at once, but they will present it sometimes a little at a time until it has, like leaven, has had the influence that brings about the damage to the cause of Christ, to his teachings. So that's the overall focus of what Paul is presenting here. Now we say, well, how does that benefit us? Well, when truth is taught and principles of truth are laid down, and when Christ is being taught as God's Son and is being glorified, and the explanation of the Old Testament law is being taught, then we can benefit if we will only apply that and allow that to instruct us as well. We'll not be let off in certain ways, in certain paths of error, and our faith will be edified by the things that are taught concerning Christ and his being the Son of God, being the seed that was promised to Abraham, and how that we can become heirs of that promise and children by faith in Christ when we're baptized into Christ, as we'll study further in this lesson. Now, the study that we're in right now, specifically, there are three things mentioned in chapter 1, three main points that the Apostle Paul has made in the beginning in verse 2 of this lesson. Paul brings up the argument or the position by asking the question, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And then he goes into an explanation of that. And of course, we receive the Spirit. That Spirit being that which the Spirit has given, the revealed word of God, or the miraculous gifts that were given at the time that they were in effect. It came through the word of God. It came from the hearing of faith and not by the works of the law. Then he also brings up the fact that the law did not bring about justification, but it brought a curse. And then we see, he teaches how that the curse was taken away through Christ, and how that Christ bore our sins on the tree, and cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. And then he began really in verse 6 and continued through verse 9, talking about promises made to Abraham, and then picks it back up in verse 14, and we continue from there on in our study about the promises made to Abraham and to his seeds. And we find particularly and specifically in verse 16, and not to seed as the many, but to thy seed, which is one, and that seed being Christ. And so the promise that was made to Abraham, that through thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, is that seed, that one seed, which is Jesus Christ. And so we're in the process now of learning about the law and the purpose of the law, and how that the law how the law did what it was supposed to do, and how it brought us to Christ. And we're studying that part right now in our lesson. We're at that part in chapter 3. Any comments or questions on what we've discussed in our introduction? Sometimes when we're into something, we kind of lose focus of what really this is about and the purpose of what, when we pick up a particular verse, we forget really this is part of the whole. And this is part of the immediate context. It's part of the total context of the Bible. And so we wanted to kind of remind ourselves of that this morning. But when we look at verse 22, we commented on that a little bit last week, but we didn't really put it in perspective as it should have been. When we look at verse 22, we see, again, the contrast word but. But simply means in contrast with what has been previously stated. It says, but the Scripture has concluded all under sin. So what did verse 21 say that he needs to make the contrast to or about? Well, it says in the last part, it says, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Well, that is an errant conclusion that some would try to make, would like to have made, but it has been very clearly pointed out that righteousness and that the law could not bring about that the law could not bring about righteousness, that there was no law given that could bring about, that could not give life, and that righteousness could not come by the law. And so since that's the case, he says, but in verse 22, the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. In contrast to the idea that the law could bring about righteousness, that the law could give life. In contrast to that, it's concluded that all are under sin. And verse 19 says, what purpose does the law serve? It's added because of transgressions. What does Romans 3:23 say? Anyone? All have sinned. And if you read the context of that, now I believe that it is applicable to us today. We all sin. And I'm not going to go into a discussion about that. Again, how that I believe it's the exception and not the rule. But if you read the context there in Romans chapter 3, it's talking about the law of Moses. And specifically, but it does, I think, includes all. All have sinned. So there's no question that all have sinned and that the law cannot take away sins. The law cannot make one righteous. The law cannot give life. So it's concluded that all are under sin. So with this undeniable fact, it says that the promise, since we understand that and we draw that conclusion, it says that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So this undeniable fact that all are under sin affirms the promise by faith of Jesus Christ is prompted man, or should prompt man, and it does here by what's stated, to turn to Christ. The only source of salvation, the only source of life, the only source of righteousness is in Christ. So I believe this idea of but, in contrast to what's said, Scripture's concluded all under sin, that, since we're under sin, that, or therefore, the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. It's the only solution. It's the only path to righteousness. That the promise, what promise? The promise by faith that Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And the promise by faith, not by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. We'll see the term faith used as we study here, as we go on, I believe, refer to faith as in our faith in Jesus Christ, and also faith as the system of faith. And sometimes it's hard to distinguish which time it's speaking of our faith in Jesus Christ. Like when we confess our faith in Christ before we're baptized, and when we're talking about the system of faith. The Old Testament law was a system of faith. It was a religious system of faith. But it was not the system of faith that we're under now. So when we talk about the system of faith, we're talking about the New Testament law. And when we talk about the Old Testament law, that's a different system. And maybe I'm overstepping when I said system of faith. It was a system of law that was given. We're under a different system of law today. Just because we're not under the Old Testament law doesn't mean we're not under law. But it is a system of faith. There's faith, personal faith that I have in Christ, and then there is the faith, the system of faith that we're under. Any comments on verse 22?
When he raises the question, is the law then against the promises of God? They in fact magnified the faith that was to come. It showed man's need for something beyond just being of Jewish descent. Yeah. It wasn't by the inheritance. Righteousness didn't come through the inheritance, like he says. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a promise. And so he answers that question, is the law then against the promises? God forbid. If there had been a law given, it would have come through this law. This law mm-hmm. was glorious and wonderful, mm-hmm. and yet it showed. But the Scripture concluded all under sin. It showed man's need for something greater. Was a wonderful thing.
It was.
Is the point he's making.
Yes, it was, and I think that. Starting verse 22, but the scripture, what scripture? The Old Testament scripture, the law. The law has concluded all under sin. And so that in itself made it what it was supposed to do. And it really magnified Christ and the need for Christ. Thank you, Rodney. Anyone else? Then we have some interesting verses here. Actually, the next three verses refer to being kept. Under the law being the schoolmaster, and then when faith came, no longer under a schoolmaster. But we'll read verse 22 first. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. This idea of before faith came. Now, this is one of those faiths that I have, you know, have a problem with. there's always been faith. And I referred to the law of Moses as the law of faith. What I really meant to say is that there has always been faith. Look at faithful Abraham. Okay. Look at Hebrews 11 and the heroes of faith that were of the old covenant. And the patriarchs. There's always been faith. So this idea, but before faith came. Well, there's always been faith. But this is a different faith. So is this talking about just specifically faith in Jesus Christ? It could be just faith in Jesus Christ. Or is it talking about the system of faith? The new law, the law of Christ. And I'm open for feedback on that. But the idea is before faith came, we were kept under the law. Now, was that a bad thing? No, that wasn't a bad thing because it was given because of transgressions. As Paul said back in Romans chapter 7, he said, I would have not known sin except the law said, thou shalt not covet. So we read further in Romans chapter 7 how that sin made, the law made sin exceedingly sinful. In other words, it convicted man of sin to the point that he saw, as Rodney was expressing, he saw the state that he was in, the condition that he was in, and therefore the need for a Savior. So, you know, before faith came, we were kept under the law. It says, shut up unto the faith. And so I think this idea of the faith, we've referenced this several times, Romans 1, 16 and 17, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, for it is written, the just shall live by faith. It just so happens in verse 11 of Galatians 3, the last part says, the just shall live by faith. So it says here in verse 23, shut up unto the faith. I think that's talking about the system of faith, the Word of God, the New Testament of Jesus Christ, which should afterward be revealed. Someone read Jude verse 3. So is that talking about just our faith that Jesus is the Son of God, or is that talking about the revealed New Testament system of faith? Which one, Donnie?
It would be the revealed system of faith.
Okay. So here we have that, this being kept under the law, being shut up unto the faith. I think it's, I don't remember what I was reading, but he said this was likened unto verse 19. He said, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels. I don't believe that's the verse I'm looking for. I didn't write it down, so I may not be able to find the particular verse that I'm looking for. That may be the verse that was under consideration. But he made a parallel between this idea of being shut up, shut up unto the faith, or being kept under the law and shut up unto the faith. So this being kept under the law and shut up unto the faith. There's two different expressions, and again in verse 17, no, not verse 17, verse 19, it was added because of transgression. So this would be the idea of this was because of our transgressions we're kept under the law, and that it was until the promise, until the seed should come. So that's the idea of being, back in verse 23, kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterward be revealed. I don't know if there's a correlation there, but that's what one of the commentaries that I read had to say about that. But nonetheless, the law served its purpose in doing that. It served the purpose of the need because of the sin that was in the world, and the law served its purpose in keeping us, the idea of shutting us up, keeping us under the law, shutting up unto faith until which should afterward be revealed. And we'll notice a reading when we finish with verse 25 that I think ties all of these together.
Darryl?
Yes. Please.
I know you're going to get to verse 24, but it's similar to verse 23 there in chapter 3. Now, weeks ago, I made a parallel between verses 23 and 24, with which found in Galatians chapter 2, verse 19.
Read that for us, please.
Galatians 2, verse 19 says, this is Paul, he says, "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God."
Okay.
So he's making reference to, here's this schoolmaster that you'll get to. I believe that's a parallel there to verse 23 and 24, verse 19 of chapter 2. That may not even be what you were referring to, but when you said that, it spurred in my mind that parallel that I made a few weeks ago with that verse. And he's pretty much saying the same thing that he's saying there in verse 19 of chapter 2.
I think so. Anyone else? I think it's just emphasizing the fact that, you know, back in 22, the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, so we're waiting for faith, but before faith came, there's something that had to be done. And they were under the law of Moses. They were shut up under the law. They were kept under the law, shut up unto faith. You know, shut up unto faith, toward faith, which should afterward be revealed. And so it's just showing the purpose of the law. And it says, wherefore. And therefore, this is the conclusion of that. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And this idea of schoolmaster, I looked at different translations, and in our book here, it says it's more the idea of a tutor instead of a schoolmaster. It wasn't a law that was intended to... Well, let me back up on this. Now, there were a lot of teachings under the Old Testament law. And before that, during the patriarchs, a lot of the prophets and so on, there were a lot of prophecies concerning Christ and concerning this very thing that we're studying now about Christ that were to bring us to Christ. You know, you remember how that Paul, when he was baptized, he immediately went to the synagogues and he began to teach how that the scriptures show that Christ was this one that was to come, that Christ was the fulfillment of prophecies. And what did Paul do upon his, that was Paul, but Paul, when he went on his missionary journeys, where did he go? On the Sabbath days, he went to the synagogues. That's where they, the Jewish people met. He went to the synagogues that he might have an audience to teach them. I remember that when he first went on his first missionary journey, when he was in Antioch in Pisidia, that he had a great audience. And the next Sabbath day, there were more people, and they just it upset the Jews so much that they just ran him out, threatened his life, and ran him out. And that's where he said, "Lo, since you judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, we turn to the Gentiles." And he left there and went further and went to Iconium, I believe, and then Lystra and Derbe. But anyway, the idea is there was a lot of teaching concerning Christ. But the idea is the law served its purpose. And this idea of tutor in verse 23, verse 24, wherefore is the conclusion of the previous verses bringing it to what I would say a better understanding for at least a schoolmaster or a tutor to bring us unto Christ. Now, I don't remember if it was Vine or Thayer's that said this idea, and it may have been in our lesson book also, that the ancient Greeks, especially those that were higher up, that they would have someone to accompany their young men when they went out of the house, that went with them wherever they went to make sure that they stayed out of mischief, to make sure that they behaved themselves until they became adulthood, adults. And so this idea of a tutor, the law was to try to keep people restrained through the law, and yet we see that they rebelled against the teachings of the law, and therefore the promises that were made to Abraham concerning the nation, the nation, the seed, and the nation. That those promises didn't come to pass because they did not keep the law. They didn't keep the promises, and so they fell into captivity after the kingdom split, Israel was taken by the Assyrians, and the southern tribe, Judah, was taken by the Babylonians. But anyway, there was a remnant that came back. But nonetheless, there was this idea that they were to be tutors to watch over and to take care of and to keep their sons out of trouble until they reached adulthood. And so when they did that, they were serving as tutors, and here referred to as schoolmasters. And so the law was our schoolmaster, our tutor, to bring us to Christ. That was the goal, to do that. So when John the Baptizer came preaching the kingdom of heaven, and they were very receptive to what he was teaching because they had an understanding of some of these things. And that was the purpose of that. And that brings me to what I think helps us with verses 23 Well, in verse 25 it says, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. So when faith has come, we don't have the need for a tutor. So that in sense is like when these Greeks were had their children under this tutor or schoolmaster to watch and care for them, when they became of full age, then there was no need for the tutor. When faith was come, there was no need for the law. It had been fulfilled. It had served its purpose. And you remember back in, I think it's Matthew 5 and verse 17, where Christ said that the law would not pass away till all was fulfilled. And that was the case. And it was fulfilled and it passed away. And so when faith came, in verse 25, but after that faith is come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. But someone read, just drop down, we're going to jump ahead, but drop down to chapter 4 and read verses 1 through 4.
Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the law, until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law.
And in verse 5 also, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And then when we read into that chapter further, we'll go on and talk about this adoption, and then we'll talk about the two women, one a bondwoman and one a free woman, and that's further into chapter 4. But to me, this kind of sums up what we're talking about, this idea of being kept under the law, having a schoolmaster, and then when that need for a schoolmaster is no longer needed. And that, in verse 4, is when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And I think that kind of summarizes these three verses that we've just talked about here, verses 23 through 25. Any comments anyone would like to add to that? It would be of any benefit to the class. We would appreciate it.
Gerald, the English Standard Version translates that word guardian for tutor, and that goes along with the line of your thinking of what the Greeks would have had for their children.
Okay.
To stay with them, to guard them, to guide them.
Okay. Anyone else? Now we get to what I think is this is all good, but this is concerning the promise, and this is what we all want to hear, what they needed to hear, and it says that when faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. Why? It says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We're not children of God by the keeping of the law. Can't be. Can't be children of God by keeping of the law. The law, as Rodney helped in explaining verse 21, you know, was a good thing. It wasn't against the promises of God. It did what it was supposed to do, but it was not adequate to do what the law of Christ could do. But it says in verse 26, but you are all the children of God. How?
By faith in Christ.
By faith in Christ. And that's the only way. Brother Hall made a statement that was, you know, made me think. I thought a lot about it. He said it was a very difficult thing for the Jews to accept the things that Paul was teaching. You know, this is something that they had for centuries had followed, the law of Moses. And it was very difficult for them to hear something new, hear something that is contrary to what they had been taught and what they had believed. And so it's a very difficult thing. But truth and change sometimes is difficult. But there's only one way to salvation. There's only one way to be the children of God. Now, we're going to talk about the benefits of being children of God as we go further. But it says, you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And so it's only through Christ Jesus. I think it was this past week. It may have been the week before. There was a gentleman in my office, and he asked me, where did I go to church? And I told him. And I asked him, where did he go to church? He said, well, he said, I used to be, and I think I got this in order. He said, I used to be Pentecostal, and my wife was this. Said, and then we went to the Baptist church, and now we're at the Methodist church. And he said, I really had to open my, he used a word that I didn't really know what it meant. I'd never heard the word before, but I understood what it meant in its context. Sometimes we have to figure those things out when you're not educated. So in its context, I knew what he meant. He had to open his acceptance of other religions. He said, I had a brother that died. He said, told me where he lived, and it was in a different country. He said he became Catholic, and he passed away, and he told me when. It wasn't that very long ago. He said, so I've had to open my acceptance, and that wasn't the word, for other beliefs. Because he had a brother that became a Catholic, and he died a Catholic. So now he has to, he's a Methodist, but he's also accepting Catholics now. And so I didn't want to, you know, his brother died, and so I had to tread lightly. I didn't want to just be mean. You never want to be mean. You always want to be kind when you're teaching people, but you want to teach the truth. And so I'm going to get this in. So I said to him, I said, well, I was a Baptist. I said, you know, my father was a Baptist preacher. And I said, and through studying the scriptures, I learned the truth that the Baptist denomination did not teach the truth on how to become a Christian and how to obey God to become a Christian and how to live as you should, how to worship as you should. And so I left the Baptist church. And so that's the reason that I'm a member of the Lord's church. And I said, you know, the Methodist church teaches that you don't have to be immersed to be baptized. He said, yeah, you can sprinkle or pour. And I said, that's correct, yeah. I said, the Baptists believe that you have to be immersed. He said, yeah, that's what they teach. I said, well, they can't both be right. He said, no, they can't, they can't. And so we talked a little bit, and I got down to the point that, you know, really, all of these churches that teach all these different things can't be right. I said, you've got to find the truth. I said, you believe that religious people that don't believe that Jesus is God's son are saved? He said, oh no. He said, you got to believe the Trinity, in the Trinity. I said, well, all of these churches that teach different things on the same subject. I said, do you think that they're all right? You know, when they teach different things, it's, well, he said, you know, you really give me a lot to think about. He said, your witness is a strong witness. Well, I gave him a card, and I said, you can listen. I said, I'd like for you to come, but you can at least listen. And I told him about a meeting. He said, well, I would like to come to your meeting. And I said, well, I'm going to call and remind you to come. But, you know, that's how far out people are. Because his brother became a Catholic, he had to become a Catholic. I mean, he had to accept Catholicism. He didn't become a Catholic, he just had to accept it. So he went from Pentecostal to Baptist to Methodist, and he's accepting Catholicism. So he, you know, he's just really out there. So, but the thing about it is, we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So it's not just a mental acceptance of the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. We've got to act on our faith and be baptized into Christ. If we don't, we don't put on Christ. We don't belong to God. We're not His child. And as we go on further, we'll learn a lot of other things that we're not. So I found that interesting. So Lord willing, the bell is about to ring, and we'll pick up with talk a little bit more about verse 27 next Sunday, Lord willing. And if I seemed a little confused about some of those verses, I was a little confused.